this morning. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. This morning will be a topical message. Following our series of messages on stewarding life. Again, Paul said in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And so it's reasonable for us to give our lives to Him. He is the Creator. By the way, He's the giver of life. We covered that a couple of weeks ago. He's the giver of life. And as the giver of life, we ought to give back to Him what is truly His, and that's our lives. We ought to steward our lives for Him. This is not my life. This is not my body. I'm to steward my life and my body for the Lord. And so as we think about that as Christians, by the way, the start of that is salvation. And I hope this morning you know you're saved. We'll cover that in a moment. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would bless this time and the reading of your word. I pray that you would bless the message. God, may we again realize the importance of managing the resources you've given us. And Lord, especially managing our health. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning's an interesting message. If you looked in your bulletin, I'm actually going to actually do what the bulletin says and preach a message on stewarding health. Stewarding health. I think all three of my boys are in here, and they're all young men now. And I believe if you were to ask all three of them when we were raising them at home, how did Dad and Mom do as far as practicing what you preach? We certainly weren't perfect, but we, I believe, did a decent job of saying, hey, this is what you should do, and here's how you do it, and practice it with our life. We didn't do the thing about telling your kids not to smoke, but you got a cigarette in your hand. That'll come back to bite you, by the way. But if we tried our very best with the help of the Lord to practice what we preach. We tried to live out the Christian life before them. Again, not perfect. By the way, if you're trying, if you're walking with the Lord and you're trying, your kids will know the difference between the two. They'll know when you mess up, hey, they messed up, or that you're not trying at all. And so we did all those things. But today would be the one point. And I'm just going to be super transparent with you this morning. The one point that I probably have neglected the most and haven't lived out in front of them as I probably should have, and I'm looking at some of my boys now, as I should have, living out and being a good steward of the health and the body that God has given me. And so this morning, if you say, well, I didn't come to church to get a diet, diet plan from the pastor, it's not what's going to happen this morning. I am going to give you a couple of things that you already know, but it's common sense. But I'm certainly not a nutritionist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a trainer. I'm a used-to-be athlete. I think some of y'all have known me long enough to remember when that was the case. 28 years ago, Brother Clark would remember. There's some others in the audience. Yeah, you can see it. You got to go to Bowie, in my hometown, and Brother Clark has seen it. I'm on the rock, the jock rock in the city of Bowie. The Robertsons are here from their former citizens of Bowie, Texas. So if you go out in front, what used to be the high school, if you go out in front of the high school, I'm on that rock that everybody aspires to be on. And so my as an athlete, for what? I think I'm going to tell you. So when I was in high school, I played football, and I was a decent football player, certainly not the best. I had ADD so bad and had a hard time concentrating. I was strong and fast, but a little bit spastic, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if my dad would probably agree. I played inside linebacker and enjoyed it. But the thing I became good at in high school was weightlifting. I think God made me to lift houses and do things like that. And so my senior year, 1992, in the state of Texas, I was the best overall lifter in the state of Texas my senior year. I won it all my senior year. Not only just my weight class, but I won the best overall lifter in the state of Texas in the powerlifting, UIL powerlifting. So I used to be athlete. And you think about it, that's not too bad to be 18 years old and compared to the percentage of your body weight, lift more than any other high schooler in the state of Texas. I'm just, 18. No. It's bad. Yeah. All that to make a point. And this is exactly how I wanted to start the message this morning. Because it is comical now. I mean, if you were to see me then and then see what's happened to me since then. I'm still decently strong and not fast anymore. Of course, I'm 49 years old now. I was 18 then. I know, my dad's trying too. We've got lots of visitors this morning. They're all going, what in the world did I get myself into? Again, to be completely transparent, kind of what I went through is when I was in Bible college, and my wife will testify to this, I actually tacked it to the ceiling in my bedroom, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, where Paul says, I keep under my body and keep it in subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I would be a castaway. And the busy schedule that we had going to college and having to get up at 4:30 in the morning and 4 days a week and drive 90 miles one way to Fort Worth to go to school and all those things that were part of, and many of you who went to college and or maybe younger in life, you had to really burn the candle at both ends, and I did that. And I kept that verse in front of me. I keep under my body, bring it in subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I wanted to practice what I preached in those things. And in those first few years, from the time I was 18 to 27, around that area, I kept in good shape, was very active, worked out, and enjoyed it as an adult after high school playing basketball. I know you don't think that I would be a basketball player, but I absolutely thoroughly enjoyed playing basketball and got pretty good at it. And as time went on, though, when I was 27, I hurt myself lifting weights with some of y'all remember Michael Allen. I was working out with Michael Allen one day, and I hurt myself and could no longer do the bench press anymore. And my doctor said so as well. Could not lift heavy anymore. And since that point, I use that as my excuse. Since that point, I couldn't lift heavy weights anymore. Things began to die. But also at that same point, I was 27. We just about a year into starting this church, and all of a sudden my life became super busy. We had three kids. And just everything began, life began, right? Adulting is tough sometimes, right? And so, just like you, we find ourselves very busy. And the thing that I probably love the most, weightlifting, is something I knew now that at that point at age 27, I would no longer be able to be my very best. And so it kind of got me psychologically a little bit. And so I began to let things slide, my body slide. My health slide. And so from about the age of 27 to 37, I steadily gained weight until I reached my pinnacle. And this is super transparent. A pastor probably shouldn't do this. But my high was 314 pounds. And I have pictures. It's awesome. You can see the pictures of me that heavy. I was going to have Brother Tyler put one up on the screen, but it's too embarrassing already. And so for about 10 years there, I was around the 300 mark and would lose a little bit up and down. Every Monday, of course, I've always made fun of myself and for our congregation, have said every Monday I started over. And it's actually true. I have that ability just to, every Monday I start over. Some Mondays it would take and I would go 3 or 4 or 5 weeks and lose some pounds and all those things. In 2015, I went to the doctor. Yeah, this happens to most people. You let your health go, and then all of a sudden you find yourself not feeling very good. Now, I have to make sure there's three things wrong with me in order to go to the doctor because I want to be a good steward of the doctor's visit. So at some point, I want to be a good steward of God's money. And so at some point, I had three things wrong with me, and I said to my wife, I'm ready to go to the doctor now. And one of those, of course, was blood pressure issues, and I could feel it. And so I went to the doctor, and she said, you got high blood pressure. I said, I kind of figured so. And she put me on medicine. I stayed on it for like a week or two. And started working out, trying to get things under control. And didn't get real serious about the blood pressure until here a couple years ago, and should have done it a lot sooner. That's kind of part of the message this morning, is listen to your doctor, right? Listen to your doctor. Because then I went to have another heart test and some other things, and there is slight damage to my heart and other things because I didn't get on blood pressure medicine quick enough. There's nobody in this room to testify to that. I know, you're a bunch of hypocrites. Mainly men in the auditorium. I know some of you. And so, you know, that age from 27 to 37-ish, you know, allowing myself to gain all that weight, and it deteriorated my health to the point of high blood pressure. And of course, the doctor said, you know, you're borderline diabetic. A lot of people get to that point. And I've always said when I was in that stage and watching other people go to that stage, I'd say, well, they ought to listen to their doctor. And so finally I did and began to work on it. And so about 3 or 4 years ago, actually in 2015, I did begin to lose some weight and start getting a little bit serious. And then here 2 or 3 years ago, I'm thankful for the sabbatical the church gave me, and it was a way for me to kind of launch and really get things squared away. And so at my height, I was 314. But for a long time, I was 260. I've been around that area for a long, long time. The first 10 years of that, anyway, that's still pretty heavy. And that's about where I'm at now. I need to lose another 30 pounds. And so it's okay. And so all of us could use that. This message, understand, is not a typical message. But I will tell you that the Bible has a lot to say about health. We think about, for instance, that Paul said, bodily exercise profiteth what? But it doesn't say it doesn't profit anything. All the dietary laws that God gave Israel, what were they for? What were they for? All those dietary laws, Leviticus chapter 3, Leviticus chapter 11, very detailed dietary laws for the nation of Israel, those were put in place by God for their good, to help them stay healthy. So God absolutely has a lot to say in the Bible about health and staying healthy. And we as Christians need to understand that, even though I wanted to skip this message this morning, that we as Christians ought to steward the health that God has given us. We ought to steward the body that is given us. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we should take care of that temple. Now, a lot of times in the years past, I heard preachers. I mean, when I was a kid, preachers used to get up and yell and scream at people who smoke and drink and do all those, and they would use this same verse. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Why would you allow yourself to take that cigarette or take that cigar or whatever, and you smoke it, and you're destroying your temple? Or why would you take that drink or the alcohol or those drugs or whatever, and you're destroying your temple? But they never really, most of those guys were really big, too. They were like this big as they were preaching that. And they never really addressed the food issue or the health issue. And not really a food issue this morning, it's a health issue. A health issue. At what point you're healthy doesn't... That's between you and your doctor, or between you and your spouse. I don't know what that is. It can be different for each individual. Certainly not according to the health, that little weight scale they have. You know what I'm talking about? The government has that little scale. Like if you're 5'3", you should weigh this. What a bunch of hooey. I'm partly being serious. I mean, for some people, yeah, but most people don't fit in that little box. And so really between you and your doctor, where is your healthy weight? And I've been told that 230, according to my people who I go to, is about where I should be. And so, according to my body type. And so, again, God is concerned. And God is, he does care about our health, And we, as Christians, ought to care as well in stewarding our health. So, again, a lot of those preachers that get up and preach against smoking and drinking and drugs and all those things and not address the issue. The Bible says to preach the whole counsel of God. It's another reason why I'm preaching this morning and not skipping over it. That we as Christians need to understand that we're giving our bodies a living sacrifice to God, and we ought to take care of the temple of God. 3 John verse 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Again, the spiritual part of our life is the most important thing, but that does not exclude to the exception of our physical health. The purpose of our body and life is to what? glorify God. To glorify God. And we need to honor God with our lives, and we need to honor God with our bodies, to have good health in order that we might use our bodies for His service. We are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We are to present our lives to Him as a sacrifice to Him, understanding that life came from Him. Life came from God. Amen? And therefore, He is the one in which we are accountable to. And He's the one we should, again, as our theme is, to give our lives to Him. A living sacrifice. That starts at salvation, by the way. Amen. I hope this morning you know you're saved. I'm thankful that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to this earth, that He who was rich became poor, that He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him, that Jesus Christ came, lived a perfect life for 33 and a half years, the only human being who's ever done it, who's ever lived a sinless life. He lived that sinless life, and He died on a cross. He was put on a cross. He shed His blood on the cross, not for sins He had done, but He paid the price for our sins. He took our sin debt on the cross. He died in our place. He took the wrath of God for us. He took the punishment of God that was been placed upon our sins. And there He experienced and again witnessed the wrath of God upon sins. They buried Him. They put Him in a tomb. And for 3 days He lay in that tomb. But on the third day, He arose from the dead, being victorious over death, hell, and the grave, having no sins of His own. Death could not hold Him, but He paid for our sins in full. I'm glad He didn't pay for them in half. He paid for our sins in full. He paid all our sin debt. And then now He resurrected and now sits at the right hand of the throne of God and ever liveth to make intercession for us. I'm thankful He's there on our behalf. Amen? A man sits at the right hand of the throne of God. God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. Well, again, how do we escape hell and have a home in heaven? By simply trusting in Him, by putting our faith in Him, by transferring our trust from anything else, whatever source you're trusting to get you to heaven, whether it be baptism or some church membership, or maybe it's just being a good person. The Bible says you can't go to heaven based upon being a good person. You can't go to heaven based upon whether you've been baptized as a baby or baptized as an adult. You can't go to heaven whether you're on the Baptist roll or Methodist roll or the Presbyterian roll or some non-denominational roll. No, going to heaven and having and escaping hell is based upon what Jesus did for us. When He gave His life for us, He shed His blood for us, and they buried Him, and He rose from the dead on the third day, we simply put our faith, we put our trust in Him. Amen. Transferring from anything else. Good works don't get you to heaven. Only the work of Jesus Christ. Amen. Has there been a time in your life when you have personally accepted Christ as your Savior? Is there a time in your life when you've, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? I hope there's a time in your life when you can say that. As we as Christians, we as children of God, we are to present our lives to Him. It's our reasonable service based upon His mercy. I love that. Mercy is greater than our sin. Isn't that awesome? God's mercy is greater than our sin. Listen, because of His mercy, according to Romans chapter 12, because of His mercy, we ought to present our bodies to Him, our lives to Him. And we as Christians ought to steward those lives for His glory. Why are we sick? Why do we get sick? Why do Christians get sick? Why do children of God get sick? Can I, number one, tell you it's not always because of it's not always because of the way we're eating or the way in which we have stewarded our health. Sometimes we get sick because of sin in our life, and we need to take care of that. Sometimes we get sick, and the Bible says, "For God worketh all things together for good." Romans chapter 8, verse 28. He works all things together for good. And God has a purpose for why you're sick, or God has a purpose for why you're having problems with your health. And it may not be related to how you've taken care of your body. You say, "Well, I don't know what it is." Well, the Bible says it's for His glory. For His glory. In other words, we need to trust God's will. We must trust His purpose. King Hezekiah, the Bible says in Isaiah 38, was sick unto death. And he cried unto God, and God gave him a physical remedy. If you go read it in Isaiah chapter 38, verse 21, it gave a physical remedy to which they did for Hezekiah that healed him, and he got 15 more years. There's many others that we could look up in the Bible, how Job, you think about Job and all the things that Job went through. Were they because of Job's sin or because of the way Job took care of his health? No. It was for God's glory. Amen. If you remember the blind man who was blind from his birth, the Bible says, as Jesus and the disciples walked by, the disciples asked Jesus, here was a man who'd been blind since birth, and the disciples asked, who sinned, him or his parents? Him? He was blind since birth? How could he sin before he got borned? It's kind of a ludicrous question, isn't it? No, Jesus said, not because of his sin or his parents' sins, because it's for my glory. So we need to understand that when we go through health issues, we go through these problems, it could be anything in our lives, that God has a purpose for those things. And it may not have been self-inflicted. Now, a lot of our stuff's self-inflicted, but it could be simply for God's glory. And praise the Lord for that. I know people who have gone through dire circumstances and God has brought them out and they went through victorious. I think about Susie Wooten and others who just display such a great testimony. And God uses that testimony. And God uses the reaction of someone who's a Christian to be a great testimony and to see others come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. If we think about stewarding our health, what is the biblical plan? I think the biblical plan, number one, is just simple. Keep it simple. You say, I'm not giving out dietary things this morning. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a trainer. I'm not a nutritionist. I'm none of those above, but there is a biblical pattern in the Bible for just keeping it simple. We think about Daniel chapter 1. If you go back to Daniel 1, and we won't do that this morning, I'll give you the story. But in Daniel chapter 1, you see where Daniel was carried away into captivity into Babylon. Him and a lot of the other more educated young men and who were princes, and they were the best of the best. And they were brought to Babylon, carried away into Babylon, and there they were put into Babylon University. And there they were to stay for 3 years, and they were to learn the way of the Chaldeans. They were to learn the way of the Babylonians. They would learn their language, learn the way they eat. And what does it say there in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8? It says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. Why does it say that for? Well, because Jews had a dietary law. And God had given the Jews laws by which they were to govern what they eat. And one of those was, of course, that there was meat that was clean and meat that was unclean. They could eat a cow, they could eat cow meat, but they couldn't eat pig meat. Pig meat's so good. And there were certain other things. And most of y'all know that it was just very stringent. Here's what you can eat. Here's what you can. Here's what's clean. Here's what's unclean. Anything with a split hoof is clean. Anything that chews its cud is clean. Anything that's scaly, like bass, you can eat a bass, but you can't eat a catfish because it's slimy. I told you this sermon's going to be tough. It's tough. And again, there was all these dietary laws. So the reason why he said, hey, I am not going to defile myself, he purposed in his heart, is because of these dietary laws. And there's so much to that message, and I don't want to go into it, but man, by the way, his mama wasn't looking, his daddy wasn't looking. He could have done anything he wanted. But what a tremendous young man. A young man who would have been 16, 17, or 18 years old, and without the accountability of his parents, still abided by God. Amen. Still the law of God. And so he said that. Now, he asked if you remember, he asked the eunuch, the one that was in charge of them, him and his three friends, hey, give us pulse to eat and give us vegetables to eat. Give us some high fiber and give us vegetables to eat is what he asked for. And they ended up, that's what they ate. And it says that as they went throughout the weeks to come, that they fared above all the others who were eating meat at the king's table. That their flesh was more fleshly, I don't know, nicer, soft as a baby's, I don't know. Anyway, their flesh was better, their health was better. The other example we have is the example of Elijah. And Elijah, when he was on Mount Carmel and the great victory he had, and fire came down from heaven, and he killed the 800 of the Jezebel's crowd, and I mean just a great, great victory. And the Bible says that Jezebel, the queen, sent a message to Elijah that said this: before the day's out, you're dead. You're going to be killed. And what did Elijah do? I mean, just saw this great victory. What did he do? He ran. He ran. I'm summarizing, by the way. He ran. He found himself running, and then he, the Bible says he went under a juniper tree. There was a creek there. Can I tell you that God's a merciful God? And here was Elijah who was tired, exhausted, but God dealt so kindly with him. I'm glad God deals kindly with us in our dark hour. We see in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 4 that Elijah found a place of solitude. Understanding, God understood that what Elijah needed was replenishing. In verses 5 through 6 of 1 Kings 19, it says that there Elijah took rest. He lay and slept. And then the Bible says again, and he laid himself down again and rest. And God provided for him food. In all of this, Elijah requested of God that he die. And yet God dealt kindly with him. God renewed him. I'm thankful for Isaiah chapter 40 that if we will wait upon the Lord, he will renew our strength. And in this thought of health and stewarding our health, we must understand, number one, that we ought to be careful what we eat. And we ought to, and again, I'm transparent as I could be this morning. I do not do a good job of this. And most of us in this room do not. But we ought to at least be aware and then also keep it simple. I don't know how many people I know that have this diet and that diet and this diet and that diet. And you get on a diet that you can't live with the rest of your life. Just get on a diet, get on a plan, and we call it a lifestyle change, that you can keep that which you're eating for the rest of your life. Be careful about these diets that, you know, y'all know what I'm saying. You know basically what that is? It basically means think about how many calories you're eating. Think about how much cake you've had. Think about how many carbs you've had. And I don't know that you have to count them, but just think about, you know, I go to a Texas Roadhouse, I want 12 rolls. Absolutely. Each one of those rolls is 200 calories. I know that. I've looked it up. It's also a ton of carbs. And so it's just a matter of us saying, you know what, I know now there's so much education out there you can get on this. And there's some people in this room who are very educated in it. We have doctors in the room and nurses in the room, all these things. And we have Jared in the room, probably the healthiest guy in the room. Keep it simple. And that's what I found as I tried to work through mine and try to get healthier, is just cut back and exercise. Every time I would go back to exercise, I'd find myself hurt because I want to do strenuous stuff. I want to go to boot camp. You know, I want to go to Camp Gladiator, which is still a great option for somebody. Some of those, you know, I want to go to cross training. I mean, I want to do something like that. And I found that every time I did, I got hurt. And so here a few years ago, about 3 years ago, I started walking. I said, nobody gets hurt walking. And then I got hurt. Found out my knees are not what they should be. And that's my other excuse. I'm just telling you, I have all of them. Everybody in here has excuses. But keep it simple. Don't go on a fad diet. Keep it simple. And again, there's doctors and everybody in here. Just keep it simple. Number two, understand that we do need a refresh. Sometimes we need to replenish. We need time of rest. We need time of solitude. When's the last time you just got away from everything in a place of solitude? The Bible says that Jesus came apart from the crowd. Do you realize that Jesus could have worked all day, every day, all 3.5 years of his ministry, healing people? Could he have not done that? Could he have not just taken all day, every day, healing people? When he got to the cross and he said, "It is finished," was everybody healed? No. So that's not what he meant. That was not the work that God had sent him to do. The work that God has sent him to do was to be a sacrifice for us that we could have eternal life, to live that perfect life. No, the work of healing, the work of feeding people, that wasn't done. But the true work, the will of God in his life, the purpose he was placed here on earth for, the purpose he came to seek and to save that which is lost, and he fulfilled his purpose. And on the cross, he could truly say, "It is finished. God, your will for my life, your purpose for my life, it is finished." And he died. Rose again the third day. we have to be careful when it comes to our own health. So many things pull us in so many different directions, and we need to keep our priorities right. So many times we have all these things that overload us, activity overload, and all the many choices we have, and the changes in society, the commitments we can make, the debt, the hurry, 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 media, social media, all the things we're exposed to now, noise, and so many options to of people and possessions and technology and traffic, and work. And yes, a person needs to work in order to provide for their family. But with all of these activities in our life and all of this chaos, if you would, in our society today, we as Christians need to keep our priorities balanced. We as Christians need to be sure that we are putting biblical priorities and scheduling our time by biblical priorities. What can we do with all this heavy load? What can we do when getting the kids to school and work, and all these things that go on in life? How can we redistribute the load? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. And with that temptation, with that test, with that load that God has given you, he says he'll make a way of escape. He'll never put on you more than you can handle, he says. So whatever he's put into your life, whatever circumstances that are in your life, he will not put more on you than you can take. And many times we overload ourselves because we get our priorities out of whack. And let me again say biblical priorities. What are the biblical priorities in life? Our biblical priorities, number one, is to walk with God. How's your daily walk with the Lord? Are you spending time in the Word daily? Christian, child of God, are you spending time with your Heavenly Father? Are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? These are priorities in your life. Number one priority is to walk with God. God's number one in your life. Number two is to care for your family. Care for your family. Spending time with your family. Work is not number two. Again, we have to work in order to provide for our family. And we ought to work hard. We ought to provide, and men, according to the Bible, you're primarily responsible to be the breadwinner in your home. Make sure your home is provided for. That's the biblical priority in a man's life. He is to be the priest of his home, he is to be the protector of his home, and he is to be the provider for his home. And we as Christians should never be accused of being lazy. We ought to work for what we eat. Amen? Work for what you eat. And then, number four is to worship and serve the Lord. Church ought to be a priority in your life. We should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Church ought to be a priority. So here's your four priorities: taking care of your family, walking with God, serving the Lord, and being a part of a good church. Everything else is after that. We as Christians need to plan, and we need to schedule according to biblical priorities. Stewarding life is about putting our priorities, again, and accustomed to what the Bible says. We ought to plan rest. We ought to plan sleep. Sometimes we get out of balance because we don't get enough sleep. I got stories, and I know you have stories, of when you allowed yourself not to get enough sleep and then the body breaks down. Take time off. I know preachers who brag about that. I never take any time off. You know, there's men who sometimes will brag about, I never take any time off. You need time off. Schedule time off. Schedule time away. Just plan those family. Dad and mom, plan family vacations. They're important. Your kids will remember. Your kids won't remember the stuff. Stop buying so much stuff and do more experiences. Spending more time with your kids. I loved growing up. My dad and mom made sure we had vacation every year. Enjoyed it. And then with our kids every year as they grew up. Take time. Jesus, God created the Sabbath day, not only as a day set aside for him, but the day set aside for what? Rest. Used to, in the United States of America, you couldn't go to the store on Sunday. Everybody took time off. Can I encourage you as a Christian, as a child of God, you need time off. You need time to rest. Take that time for your health too. If you want to be a good steward of the health that God has given you, take that time of rest that needs away. Get away. By the way, getting away does not bring joy. does not bring peace, does not bring contentment. Be careful. Be careful. Just because you get away and you take a trip to Mexico and you think, oh man, finally my cares will go away. No, because you're going to come right back to them. Some people use time off just like an alcoholic uses drinking as a way to get away from stuff. And I'm telling you, true contentment's found, listen, true contentment is found in the yoke which Jesus Christ has for you. He says there in Matthew, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Understand that when you are following God's will for your life, as Jesus did, Jesus is the greatest example, right? He could have healed people all day, every day, all day long. But he chose many times to get off in a solitary place. He chose many times to get off and rest. He chose many times to get off with his disciples, to get away from the crowds. Because his will for his life, the purpose for his life, was to die, be buried, and rise again from the dead. And as he lived that will out in his life, it kept everything in balance. Can I remind you this morning that you only have one person to please? If you're saved, if you're a child of God, you have one person to please, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You have one priority. I know that I've given you the four, but if you got one priority, the priority is to keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Now, I've given you some practical things already. We serve one person. We're pleasing one person. And if you get in that yoke with him, he said, My burden's light. Sometimes when a missionary goes off to Africa, we say, oh, that's going to be a heavy burden for them. No, that's the easy burden for them because they're doing the will of God. If they stayed in the States and did not follow the will of God, that would be burdensome for them. Just following that purpose. Again, now I'm being so transparent in this message that simply make good choices when it comes to eating. Simple exercise, stuff your doctor would tell you. Can I tell you, listen to your doctor. Don't be like me, like some of us. And I think I've done a better job in the last few years because I see the difference in my health. And I know as I get older that I need these things in my life. I think everybody in here can relate to this, and that is maintenance. Maintenance. All of us have cars. All of us have maintenance to do on those cars. And especially if it's a Chevy, if you maintain it right, some other cars it may not work. But if you maintain that car right and you change the oil, and I even said it as the Yankees say it instead of Southerners. Southerners say oil. If you change the oil every 3,000 to 5,000 miles, depends on whether you use synthetic or whatever the case is, you change the air filter, you do the proper maintenance as the book says, most modern vehicles will last a long time. But you know what? It costs something to maintain a vehicle. It takes some investment to maintain a vehicle. It takes some work. And in stewarding our health, investing in that, by the way, investing in and maintaining a vehicle will save you money in the end. There's a reward for that. A reward to your pocketbook. And can I tell you, as Christians, we need to look at our health, maintain and steward our health as God intended to for us to. Are you stewarding your health? And there's not a person in here, maybe besides Jared, that needs to walk the aisle or at least pray in your seat, Lord, help me to be a better steward of the health you've given me. Help me to glorify God in my body, which is not mine, it's his. And if you're here this morning, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, the greatest decision you'll ever make is to accept Christ as your Savior. The greatest decision. Let's all stand. I've gone a little long. Page 157, Jesus paid it all.